Welcome, welcome. Come on in. Welcome, everybody. I'm going to let you come in and get settled. I'm going to look for all the hands of the coaches and the team that are participating. And here we go. Here comes Coach Kathy. Here comes Jeanette, looking for Coach Shannon. When she gets here, there she is. I'm so excited you're all here. One more promotion here. Welcome, everybody. Make sure you've got your unmute on. That was a funny way of wording that. Okay, welcome, No BS Women. This is the How the No BS Team Does Weight Loss call. And you can see we have Coach Kathy, Coach Shannon, and Jeanette, everybody here. The first thing we're going to do is ask you, like, all the housekeeping stuff. You know what it is, right? I want you to make sure you put your chat to everyone. And that way we can all see your words of wisdom. I want to make sure that you know we're all going to be watching the chat a little bit. But if you have a real question for us, you should put it in the Q&A so that we can answer it for you. We are here to talk about our weight loss journeys and how we do weight loss inside of No BS and in our lives. So the first thing I want you all to hear from this incredible team is each person's job at No BS and their like long-term weight loss goal, if they're at maintenance or if they're still in weight loss, and what is their this year goal. So I will start. Obviously, I am No BS Coach Julie. I predominantly work one-on-one with members, and I talk about it a lot. I'm pretty sure you've heard. I am actively in weight loss. I have lost 92 pounds, I think, officially right this minute. And I am guessing I have about 80 more to go. And my goal this year for 2023 is 70 pounds. And I am beyond on track for that. Like, I have been doing eating a little less and working on enough. And so far, so good. I have had all the ups and downs you're supposed to have for January and the first week of February, and am in weight loss. So, Kathy, where are you at? Tell us about your job at No BS and your personal weight loss goals for the year.
Hi, everyone. I am so excited to be here. Thank you, Coach Julie, for having me. So what am I doing in No BS these days? I work a lot behind the scenes. So website updates, project management, making sure the team has everything they need to execute beautifully to support you. So I support the team that supports you. It's probably the best way to describe my job these days. One time I was on the podcast and Julie and Corinne said, Kathy, are you in maintenance? And I was like, yeah, but I have a few pounds. You know, I gained a few pounds. I have a few to lose. She goes, well, then maybe you should not tell yourself you're in maintenance. Maybe you should tell yourself you want to lose a few pounds. So that's where I am. This year, I would like to take back off about 12 or 15 pounds. And I'm okay with that. It's part of, like Julie said, it's part of, it's just part of our life journey sometimes. You know, I had a tough year health-wise. Does that excuse putting on pounds? I don't know, but I'm not beating myself up over it, but it's okay. So yeah, 12 or 15 pounds for me.
And you don't need an excuse, right? Like, yeah, exactly.
No.
Okay, Jeanette, thank you so much, Kathy. Jeanette, tell us what your role at No BS is, because I'm not sure anybody has met you on screen yet.
Nope, this is my first time being on screen. And I'm just going to like say, this is so out of my comfort zone. I like being behind the scenes. But I'm the email marketing specialist here at No BS. So my job has actually evolved. I came on board about a year and a half ago now to basically work member communications and make sure that everybody had what they had when they needed it. And my role has now evolved to be primarily email specialist. So I'm scheduling and working on marketing within that and Yeah. So very much behind the scenes, and very, very solidly still inside my weight loss journey. I have a total of about 80 pounds that I need to lose. And I've been there for a couple of years now that I've needed to lose those 80 pounds. And my goal this year is to lose half of that because I'm trying to make it super doable for me this year. So that is my goal.
Thanks, Jeanette. I love that, that you're making it doable and you feel like 40 pounds is doable for you in 2023.
I think so. I think so. Especially where my mindset is now. I've done a lot of work on my mindset and, I've really evolved over the past 18 months. So that's where I think I'm going to wind up this year. But if I kill it, great.
Congratulations. Shannon, tell us your role and what your weight loss goals are for the year, or if you're in maintenance.
Yes. Hi, everyone. So my role at NoBS is a private coach. I've been working with NoBS since June of this year. So I'm still not the babyest coach anymore, but I'm still baby coach. And I mostly see private clients and I am in Ask Coaches and I'm in Facebook and just there to try to support everyone in all the ways that I can. I started this journey in October of 2017 and I lost 25 pounds, which I've kept off now for 4 years. I was kind of like Kathy, like until recently, I had not embraced maintenance, but I did. I embraced maintenance about October of last year and decided to just live there for a while and see how that felt because I had been working on those last few pounds for ever. And recently I decided I'm going for the last 10 pounds that I really wanted to lose initially. And I feel like this is such an important message. I think is like, it's such a process. Like, I really feel like I'm ready to do that now. And it just doesn't feel as hard as it was feeling a couple of months ago. So
that's so good. So I want to wrap this up in reminding, Kathy, would you mind telling us your total weight loss that you've had so far?
Yeah, 80 pounds. Okay. Total.
Mm-hmm. So the members, I really want you to see, like, when I'm done, I will have lost 160 pounds. Kathy and Jeanette are in that 80 pound range. Shannon, you're at 25 pounds is like your permanent number, or are you at like 30? Where
I'll be at like 35 when I get to.
Perfect. Thank you. So see how like all of us, we're all NoBS coaches. We all work all the time. Some of us are grandmas. Some of us are moms. Some of us are dog moms. Some of us are married. Like, we are just like doing the weight loss our way, the number that's ours, however, like we could do it. So, okay. So with that in mind, Kathy, how did you do it? Where, like, tell us about your NoBS routine, like where, when, how did you plan? Do you plan and assess, like, give us all the deets.
Okay. So, those of you who've been around for a long time have heard me talk about how I'm a nighttime planner. When I go to bed at night, I had my planner next to my bed. I did my assessment and my plan all at the same time. Well, I decided to try something new, Julie. So for the past, 9 months or so, I've been a morning planner. And I have my little couch in a very sunny place in my bedroom. I get up. I have a routine. I know this shocks you, but I have a very linear routine. I get up, I drink coffee, I take a shower, I get dressed, I sit on my couch and I do my plan, and I'm Marco Polo, my accountability partner. So why do I tell you the two different ways I have done this? Because there's no perfect way, y'all. And you can try different things. And right now, For years, I love the nighttime planning. Right now, I love the morning planning in the sunshine on my couch.
Amazing. So,
yeah, that's my routine.
That's
awesome. What you asked me?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's so great. What about you, Shannon? What's your NoBS routine and how does it work for you?
So I have a morning routine, which has evolved. And I like to say that because I think everyone should have these little routines and habits in place. Like, I just think it helps so much, but I think that they evolve over time and they can be really little or they can be bigger, whatever works for you. But my morning routine is, and I had to become a morning person. I always thought of myself as a night owl. And then I just started telling myself that wasn't true anymore. And I backed up my clock about 5 minutes at a time until I was getting up earlier. And I've come to this place where, like, I just love that time in the morning. So every now and then I'll think, oh, I don't really want to get up. And then I'll think, but I really love my time by myself. And that is the motivation I need. So it's like those two thoughts kind of warring against each other, but it gets me out of the bed. And I've built that over time. And so it's my coffee. It's my planner and my journaling. I do that every day. I even if it's just two sentences, I like do something to get that out of my head. I've been working on meditation. And for me, that's just like trying to not think of anything for a couple of minutes, like no big deal. And I try to read something every day that's like a chapter of something I'm reading, usually self-help. But it just kind of grounds me.
Thank you so much, you guys. It's so interesting how each of us like do things different. Jeanette, what about you? What's your NoBS routine like? Oh, you're on mute. You're muted. I'm going to ask you to unmute, Jeanette.
Yeah, there you go. I don't have a routine. I'm not very routine driven. So I tend to do best when I plan in the evenings. And I've always been this way for my whole life. In the morning, I just want to get going. I want to literally wake up, take a shower, get to work. So I kept thinking the morning was the best time to do it. So I kept trying to force myself to do it in the morning. And then I would half-ass it, or I wouldn't really write stuff down. So I decided that it was okay for me to plan at night. So that is how I wind down my evening. I really like to kind of put the day to bed is how I call it. So I kind of like look over what I did. I try and come up with two or three things that I've done right over the course of the day. And that probably takes me like 5 or 10 minutes. And then I take 3 minutes and do my minimum baseline plan for the morning, which is literally just to write down my food. That part probably takes me about 2 minutes. And then what I'll do is I'll get up in the morning and then I will like kind of refine it. Like before, when I sit at my desk, I leave my planner at my desk. So when I sit down, I grab that and I review it. And then I just make changes or wherever based on how I'm feeling that morning. So that I've been doing that solidly now for about 30 days, which doesn't sound like a long time, but for me, it's huge because I was the person who would plan on a sticky note, or I would try the digital planner and then I would jump to one of my print journals and then I would try a notebook. And I'm like, and I was just like a squirrel, like any new thing that I could try, I always thought would like ground me, but I finally found something that I think works for me going forward.
Oh, that's so good. I love how you were like in the spirit of curiosity, like trying different things and seeing what worked for you and making it work for you. And that's mine too. I have found like we tend to go out a fair amount. And so I realized that if I like do my plan, a really thorough weekly plan with a meal prep plan, then now I'm just kind of like transferring the information over to each day basically. And I pretty much, if I'm going to eat breakfast, I eat the same thing every day. And so that wasn't really an issue, but for lunches and dinners, however you want to define that, I know most of you know, I just plan food. It's all food to me. I don't call it by a meal type, but I literally found that if I just plan for the prep and what our week is going to look like, now I don't even really have to think much about it each day. I just transfer it all over to each day on like Sunday or whatever day I do that on. And it varies a little bit. Sometimes I'm off on Wednesday, Thursday. So a lot of times it's like Thursday, we do our marketing, we plan ahead, we plan what nights we might be going out or not. And then I just kind of know and I'll pre-write it all. And that way I don't really have to think much about it. I just look at it. Maybe something changed on a day, but it's kind of rare. And I just kind of go for it that way. So we all just do it our own way, right?
I do the same thing, Julie. I do a lot of the same thing. And I put it on the refrigerator so that Ken always knows what's, you know, what we have for lunch. You know, I already have the lunches purchased and, you know, ham for sandwiches or whatever it is. And then the dinner plans. So sometimes I'll ask him, do you want to have this or that for dinner? And he'll go, the list says we're going to have, you know, whatever. So it's like built in accountability at my house. If I post it,
totally
keeps me on target.
I am like you too. I check in with my accountability person in the mornings. And so I don't necessarily want to give a bunch of time for writing and a bunch of time for this and that and the other thing. Like, I love knowing the food's basically out of the way. Like, this is what we're fixing. This is where we're going. You know, we know what restaurants we like. You know, every once in a while, it'll say, like, try a new place. But I mean, we live in the middle of nowhere. Like, a new place is an hour away. So how often is that happening? We know our favorite places, and I know what I like to eat there. So it's pretty, like, you know, there's no new food out there, basically, unless you're going to, you know, some fancy place that's different every night. So pretty much, I love the idea of just getting it all out on the books. And then I just do accountability in the morning, do some journaling, do some self-development, boom, done. All right. Okay, people. But okay, we're no BS coaches. So I think there's an assumption that, like, none of us have struggles. And so I want to know, what has been your biggest, like, what did you identify as your biggest struggle, right? Because it's your thought about something. How did you work on it, or how have you overcome it? Shannon, I want to start with you.
Well, there's a lot of struggles. And I love to say that because as coaches, we have them. We have all of them. Maybe sometimes more. I don't know. But when I was thinking about this question, I think for me, it came down to kind of people pleasing and not always eating just because everybody else was eating, or eating things that were offered to me. Drinking things that were offered to me. And I've kind of found the balance with this. And I am one of those very lucky women whose husband cooks. And since the kids have been gone, he's been cooking even more and, like, you know, very exotic things. And so I had gotten into this place of, like, people pleasing again and overeating again, of, like, you know, he cooked this amazing meal. Like, I should eat it. I should eat more than, you know. I don't want it to end fast. Those are all the thoughts that were coming up for me. And so I had to do some work on that over the last couple of months. And then, like, the other day, he brought me this little plate with these heart cookies. I don't really buy a lot of that kind of stuff because I will eat them. It even have a rose in the middle. So it was like, how do I not eat one of these cookies? So, like I said, I found the balance. I had a cookie. It was fine. No problem. And moved on. But anyway, it's just like, I love that he does those things for me, but I find it hard sometimes to say, I don't really want that right now in a nice way.
Thank you. Thanks for being so honest. Jeanette, what about you? What do you identify as your biggest struggle, and how do you work on it or overcome it? Have you overcome it?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about this yesterday, and I've spent a lot of my weight loss journey, and I have never lost weight. I have been overweight since college, and I have never been a yo-yo dieter. I've never been, you know, thin. Like, so my biggest struggle has always been perfectionism. And I've only come to realize that recently, because my perfectionism infiltrates everything. So I always think that I'm not good at stopping it enough. I'm not good at waiting for hunger. I'm not good at drinking my water. I'm really good at sleeping. I will say that I can sleep like a boss, but it's not that I'm not good at all of those things. It's that I don't think I do any of those things good enough, which leads me to my number one struggle being perfectionism. And that's what I've worked on a lot over the past few months. Do you know how many journals I have? I must have 20 journals that have, like, 4 pages written in them. And then they have one crossed out word, and I'm like, oh, that's not good. No, like, I can't use that one anymore. So I've had to work really hard on allowing that uncomfortableness to just be okay. And I have started to go back to using some of those journals. And I'm like, okay, I haven't written in this one since 2020, but that's okay. The next entry can be 2023, and there's nothing wrong with that. And That is kind of how I've worked on starting to overcome it. And that kind of goes back to, I see somebody asked in the chat, in the Q&A about finding the format that works. It's that same thing. It's that perfectionism. You know, I'll start a planner and then I don't follow it. I don't follow that plan. So it wasn't me that decided to not follow that plan. It's the planner's fault. So I'll jump to digital. And I'm like, okay, it's a clean slate. I can erase things. It's going to look really good. And then I'm like, well, but Corinne says we should write things down. So I don't feel like this is really writing something down. So then I'll jump back to the paper planner. And these thoughts were just around and around and around and around in my head. So I literally had to just, and it's such a cliche term, but sit in the discomfort of wanting to do something new and saying, no, this is what we're going to try. And this is what we said we're going to try. And you committed to do it for 4 days. So do the 4 days and then you can change it. So that almost everything for me comes back to perfectionism. And because you're never, ever, ever going to be perfect. So that's what I've learned to just say, it's okay not to be perfect. And that has been the number one thing for me.
I was so dying when you were talking, because I can't tell you how many times when I was an OBS woman before I had become an OBS coach, like I would spell something wrong in my journal and then I would rewrite the whole page. And when you said that, I was just dying. Like I just could not have a cross through. I would try one strike through and then two and then like the next thing you know, I'd rip out the page very carefully so it looked like it never was there. And then I would rewrite the entire page without the spelling error. So you are a woman after my own heart. Kathy, what about you? What is your biggest struggle? And then how have you worked on it or overcome it?
So I can relate to what everyone has said so far. Let me just put both hands in the air and say, yeah, I totally get it. Mine is trust. And it's really trusting myself. Specifically, a good example would be around hunger and enough. Am I hungry? Am I really hungry? What happens if I get too hungry? I start this litany of questions. When if I just settle myself down and say, you know what? It's okay if you are hungry. Same thing with enough. Have I had enough? Should I eat more? What if I have another bite? MJ says, if I'm looking for the best bites, I must have had enough. This litany of trust, you know, these questions, these negotiating questions that I get in my head. If I can, I don't want to say if I can learn, because I do listen to the questions. If I work on trusting myself to answer the questions and be okay with what the answer is, then that's where the magic happens, right? Because we're always going to question, you know, that's what we're taught to do. Have you had enough? You know, you're asking yourself a question. That doesn't mean I have to follow it with five or six different questions. I just need to trust that I know the answer to the question and that I won't die if I missed it. You know, perfectionism, if I got it wrong, or if Ken loves me with food and brings me cookies, you know, it's all okay. I just need to trust that I know what's best for my body. And that's where that's the, you know, how many years did we go to Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig and trusted the programs to tell us when we'd had enough? So it's for me, even though I've been here 10 years, y'all, I'm still learning that and I'm still working with that and it's still developing and it's okay. I'm okay with that. I actually love it.
So good, Kathy. Mine, not too off from yours, is like, I was the master at lying to myself and everybody else, frankly, because I had every excuse in the book that I believed. And so like literally, I just wouldn't even believe I was overeating. I had all these stories like, oh, I eat healthy. I do this. I do that. I had to like strip myself clean of all of this like inner dialogue that was just designed to fool me and create this path of radical honesty with myself, where even if I am overeating today, it's by choice. Like I am aware of what overeating looks like. I know that I'm doing it. I can acknowledge that I've chosen to do it. It's not happening to me for some legitimate excuse that I have made up to myself. And I just literally live in every moment, every day, trying to practice radical honesty with myself. It's, I wouldn't even call it a struggle. It's like my profound life goal. I want to spend my last breath looking back at my life and just be like, wow, you really lived it. Like this was your gift to yourself, this profound honesty. And so I wouldn't necessarily say I call it a struggle, but it's been the biggest facet of how I have overcome my own bullshit, frankly. So yeah. All right. So we all have tricks and hacks, right? Everybody does. So what are your tricks and hacks that you found useful? Jeanette, you start.
I actually have two. So one of my favorite things is I have a, I'm a big fan of my bookmark bar on my browser. And I'm not one that loves using my phone or my tablet for things. I'm very much a desktop laptop person. So I have quick hits. I have a folder for quick hits that I have shortcuts to my favorite ones that I can listen to in 5 minutes or under. 5 minutes or under is kind of like my limit. I'll listen to the, I cut the quick hits, which helps. So the 5 minutes and under ones were where if I get urgy or if I'm beating myself up over something that I think I did wrong, just that quick shot of listening to something that kind of brings me back out of my head. Like I get lost inside my head a lot. It's like this big maze and I just like start looking at these really high walls and all these thoughts that I imagine them as really high walls and anything that can pull me out of that. That was my number one hack for a long time. I've done that for quite a while. And my second one, I actually only started doing in the last few months. I was hanging out with my sister and my sister is crazy creative. She's an artist. She's a graphic designer. She's messy. Like, and I am not the messy one. I was always the neat and orderly. Like not cleanliness wise, but just my brains. I'm very linear. I'm kind of like Kathy. I'm very detail oriented. I'm very precise with what I like to do. And my sister's just all over the place. So I was helping her out at one of her trade shows and she had this notebook. She asked me a question or something. And I'm like, I don't remember. So she's like, well, it's in my notebook. Go grab my notebook. And I picked up this notebook from hers. And there were no line, like she was blank paper, no lines, writing crisscross all over, crossed out all this stuff. And I'm like, how do you find anything in here? And she's like, oh, it's all in there. I know it's all in there. And I'm like, wow, that's brilliant. So I got myself a journal, a Moleskine journal with no lines. And that's my thought journal. And I keep it by my desk and I have a thought, I just write it down. Half the time I don't even look at the paper, I just write the thought down. I don't think about it. I don't journal over it. I don't assess it. I don't pick it apart. I just write it down. And I have like this smorgasbord of shitty thoughts that are in my head. And you can start to see the repetition and stuff. And it helps also get me out of that maze in my head where I'm telling myself all these stories about how I'm not doing things good enough and all that stuff. So those are probably the two things that I've really enjoyed the most, especially over the last like 6 months or so.
Awesome. I was so engaged with you that I practically forgot who to call on next, but it's Coach Shannon. Cause Kathy, you already went, right? Sorry.
No, I don't think Kathy, you didn't.
Kathy, have you gone? I literally just got so engrossed in Jeanette. I'm like, that's it. I'm done. She's leading the call now. Okay. Shannon and Kathy, Shannon, then Kathy.
Okay. So when I was thinking about tips and tricks, one of them is to do the habit stacking, figure out where you can put in things so that they become automatic. And one of mine, I mean, this was going to be another answer, but water is like so important. for everything we do here. So I just started having my water before my coffee. I like would make myself have my water before my coffee or have my water while my coffee was brewing. That was just, it just stuck. And so then I started finding what's the next place I can like stick some water in. And so now when I'm answering your Ask Coaches, I take a sip of water every time I'm waiting for something to happen because there's some lag in there. And so it's like, it's become a game. And the other thing for me is closing the kitchen. When I started using that, kind of like as a habit, and working my way back to that, it just changed everything for me because I just made it, it was like I made a decision that I don't eat after this time. And then it just stuck. So, but I had to work up to it. Like I had to back it up like 5 minutes at a time and really work with myself on what I was planning before that. So that was, those were the two of the things that, that really helped me.
Cool. Kathy, what about you?
So again, my sweet husband Ken taught me this. Actually, I learned it from him. He got to where I would fix dinner and he would clean up the dishes before he ever ate, which meant we had to put away the food. And I'm like, what are you doing? The food's still warm. And then it dawned on me that if we put away the food before we sit down at the table, I have eliminated the temptation of snacking, you know, little picking when you're doing the dishes. Nobody does that, right? this girl was the best at like scraping the bowls and stuff. Going back for seconds because it tastes so good. You know, if I want seconds, if I'm still hungry, I can pull it out of the refrigerator and heat it back up. But chances are I'm not going to be still hungry after I serve my meal. So this presents itself in two ways in my house. We put away the food before we sit down to eat. So it all goes, it's either the dishes are either scraped or it goes back in the fridge. Or when we go out, which we also do quite a bit, especially on the weekends, I'll have them bring me a to-go plate, dish, whatever, with my meal. So like if you get one of those giganto meals wherever you go, you can actually serve yourself a plate and put the rest in the to-go container and close the to-go container. So for me, that's how I put like a rubber stamp on the end of my meal. I do it before I really ever start eating because we all really sort of know how much it's going to take, you know, to be okay with not going back with seconds. Yeah. That's my hack. Since I'm working on the doable hunger, I thought I'd throw that one in there.
I have two as well. My first one is with accountability. A long time ago, someone said to me, you have to be interested to be interesting. It was a really long time ago, like when I was in junior high. And I remember thinking that was such an interesting perspective. And over the course of my life, I've had a lot of curiosity. And then I became an OBS woman. And curiosity is such a huge part of like how to work the program. With curiosity, we're in the lab coat, you can experiment and like get to know what works for you. But it turns out that also that curiosity really helps in accountability because I really listen to what my accountability partner is saying and I ask engaging questions. But in the process of doing that, I apply the questions to my life. I hear their answers. I learn so much. And I don't go into accountability with this idea of like, this is what I want to say. I go in with like, what are they saying to me? How can I support them? Like, how can I get curious about what they're facing and apply that to my life? And so that was like a big one for me, realizing like it wasn't just going in and having a bitch fest about something. It was really like a tool I could use to open up my own mind. And then my second one is, Kathy, you and I practically could have written it. The only difference between you and I is that I like do not carry a purse, but when we go to a restaurant, I will literally bring like some sort of bag that looks purse-ish and in it will be like a glass Pyrex because I cannot stand the throwaway containers. I can't stand how the food tastes after it's been in my fridge with like the fridge taste and smell. So I like to reheat things in glass. I know myself enough to know that that works for me. I bring my own container, my food comes. I whip out my own container. I put half my meal in it. I close the lid, I put it in my bag, it's gone out of sight. So very similar to you. I just bring my own container because I don't like foam and heating and, you know, reheating more dishes. I'm like, one thing, I don't want the trash of it. I am also a little obsessive. So that is like one that's really worked for me. And I like it because I don't have to wait for them if they've forgotten it. I know what sizes to bring. Yeah. When I just said that out loud, I'm kind of embarrassed, people. I'm having all the thoughts. So if any of you watched Corinne's coaching earlier and she talked about like, don't worry about what other people are thinking about you, I'm doing that work right now. So if you could do one thing today only at NoBS, you're so busy that you know you're going to do a baseline minimum of one NoBS thing, what would that be? Kathy, go.
Not putting a single thing in my mouth if I'm not hungry.
Ooh, so good. What about you, Jeanette?
It's so funny because I'm the exact opposite of that. I'll eat to enough. If I can't do anything else, that's what I would do. Definitely eating to enough.
Awesome. Shannon?
I drink my water. That is like curbs my appetite, helps my hunger, hunger, hormones, all of it these days.
And it's funny that we all picked all these basics. Like I would literally like get to bed on time and get sleep because it affects every other facet of who I am. Like if I haven't had enough sleep. So that's so fun, you guys. Don't forget to share yours in the chat. If anybody has like, what's one thing, if all you can do is one thing tomorrow, what would you choose for you? We want to know. So, okay. So what do you do when how you show up for the day isn't aligned with your plan or your goals? Like, what do you think about yourself? How do you feel? And what do you ultimately do? I'll start if you guys want. Like literally my goal is to be in weight loss, right? And I have a plan for the month. I'm doing the challenge along with everybody. And I don't stop to enough last night. Like, what do I do? My brain first goes to judgment, like insta judgment, like you're an OBS coach. You should know how to not go to couples fajita night and overeat. And then I acknowledge, which is what happened last night. I acknowledge it instantly. Like, of course you think that. Of course you think that, like you have practiced thinking that somehow if you do it wrong, you're bad. Like you have this perfectionist idea of how this works. Of course you think that you've practiced that thinking forever, but really there was just food and you ate some. And then I just like slip right into an instant next best thought, which is like, you still have more to learn about overeating. Like you're still learning. You're still growing. You're always going to overeat. I might do it less and less and less, but it's still going to happen because I'm a human. And so I like, it's like, I stopped dropping foreign in 1 second at the table. Like before we even got, I mean, I literally went to the bathroom and like before we'd even left the restaurant, I'd forend myself because it turns out like it's really super awesome on paper, the forends and like creating a new belief. But if I don't have paper, I have my phone. But if I don't have my phone in an easy way, I have my brain and I can forend my way through anything in any place at any time, like stop, drop, and forend. How about you, Shannon?
Get that thing to work. So I've gotten much better at asking myself this question. What do you really need? I think that's like one of the best things we can do for ourselves. So sometimes I'll be sitting at the, always seem to be sitting at the kitchen window doing dishes. Because since my husband cooks, that's my job. And I'll be picking food that I should have put up like Kathy did, or whatever. And I think, what is it I really need right now? Like, or especially during the workday, like if there, you know, I've just jumped up, run to the kitchen, grabbed something without thinking. I like to ask myself, what do I really need right now? I also, this is one other thing that really helps me, and that is to say my name out loud, especially like if I'm in the pantry about to grab something, I will literally say my name. And that has, I don't know what it is about that. I guess because it jolts me out of, you know, unconscious brain, but it's like And it's also very calming to me to like hear my name. So,
Anna, that's really lovely. What about you, Kathy?
So it's sort of a combination of the two of you. I don't beat myself up over Uber Eats anymore. You know, I used to a lot, and I would, my thought was always, see, I'll never get this, which is a pervasive thought in my life. I'll never get this. But I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, you know, there's not a lot of beating up, but what there is assessing and feedback. And feedback for a lot of people is a very uncomfortable word. But when you use that word, if you think of it in terms of an investment that you're giving yourself, you know, an investment in yourself, if I give myself feedback, which means basically doing the discovery worksheet, what am I learning that I can apply next time? It's like being at work and your boss says, hey, would you mind, you know, next time using this font instead of that font or whatever? That's feedback. You know, that's how you just carry forward what you've learned and put it into action. So basically that's what I do. There's not so much the beating myself up anymore, but there is the assessment piece of it and the looking back. What was I thinking? Who was I around? What did they say to me? What was I telling myself? What was on the table? What was not on the table? That kind of thing. When you just really examine, you know, for just a few minutes, either in your journal or in your mind, like Julie was saying, then you can give yourself just a little bit of assessing feedback. And you're set to go for the next time. Now, the important thing is that you acknowledge the feedback and you take it as a learning experience and you start to look for patterns. Are you giving yourself the same feedback all the time? If you are, what needs to shift? So that's pretty much what I do.
So good. What about you, Jeanette?
I still beat myself up. But the difference is that I know that I can look at it differently. So the thoughts are still there. I still believe those thoughts that, like I didn't do a good enough job. I didn't do it right. I'm never going to lose the weight. If I keep acting this way, I'm never going to lose the weight. I'm a member of the NoBS team. I should be doing better than this by now. It's all there. The difference is that I am able to, I've come to believe that whatever I did wrong per se, is my mind is just doing what it's always done to protect me from something. And I've been using food for protection, comfort, zoning out, buffering, whatever you want to call it, for 40 years. And I'm not going to just reverse that in 1, 2, or maybe even 3 years. It's going to take longer than that. And I understand that now. So I can come at the beat up. I can come at the beat down with more compassion than I have in the past. Mm-hmm. So it's still a beat down. I still have those thoughts. I still believe them, but I guess I'm at the open to believing part of that, that I'm open to believing that this is where I am right now. And it's totally okay. Like there's even one of the quick hits that I listened to. I don't even remember how long ago it was, but there's a quick hit out there that says that there's worse things than being fat. And I listen to that one a lot because I've built this story in my head that I'm a bad person because I'm fat. Like I'm not good. I'm not as good as everybody else. I'm not as smart as everybody else. And I genuinely don't believe that anymore. It took a long time for me not to believe that anymore, because if I still believe that, I wouldn't be on this call. So that's, when I have a bad day, that's what I do. I beat myself up a little bit and I say, but that's okay, because I know that I'm just doing what I've been doing to protect whatever it is that caused the overeat or the many overeats that day.
That's so lovely. I love how you're using all the quick hits. And just so anybody who wants to know, there are obviously quick hits in the Private Member podcast, but also on the replay page, you can actually search by quick hits and you can have every quick hit that's ever been done inside the membership, I'm pretty sure is a true statement. So those of you who like these short bits of like Corinne in your ear and some of the other coaches, that is an amazing way to get it. So I love that you're using that tool to like help sort your brain out, Jeanette. So good. All right. We're in our last 15 minutes. Like, what's one thing about No BS that you wish someone had told you on day one that you now know and trust and use? Who wants to go first? Kathy?
I'll go first.
Oh, Jeanette. Good. Great.
That you're never going to feel like you're doing it right. Ever. It doesn't matter how good you get at it, how much you master, you're always going to find that thing that you're not good enough at. And that's completely okay. Because if you don't feel that, then you don't grow. Because that's always going to be the next thing that you're chasing. And that has helped me a lot in realizing that it's always going to be a journey.
So good. There's no real right. It's like right for you in the moment. Could be making a mistake and learning from it, you know? Yeah. So good. Kathy, what about you?
So for me, it's that it's okay to ask for help. Mm-hmm. You know, for all the years before No BS, I was a solo rider in weight loss. I never had anyone to support me other than me, going to the Weight Watchers, sitting in the meetings by myself, you know, very introverted personality, shy. Even when I met Corinne, I didn't even know she had a membership for like 9 months. And when I got in, I had to watch first to realize it was safe for me. So I wish someone had told me the power of having all these other women on the same road with me, and that I could leverage that, help them, help myself, you know, read, do whatever it is, how integrate in however I needed to on any given day. I mean, if I had known that sooner, I probably would have lost my weight sooner. If I had known that there were coaches, well, there weren't back in the day, but for all y'all who are new, leverage the community. I mean, leverage the people who are losing weight with you. Leverage the people who are helping you lose weight. You're not alone. If that would just be my biggest thing. You know, I wasn't alone in my weight loss, and I didn't know how powerful that would be.
Oh my gosh, that's so amazing. What about you, Shannon?
There's so many. I had a really hard time answering this question, but for me, I think it is staying in your own lane and meeting yourself where you are today. And knowing that that's going to be different every single day for you. I listened to a call with Corinne this morning. It's an older call. I can't remember. But anyway, she was just saying, like, you know, if you are on Facebook and you see somebody lose 4 pounds this week, like, don't start comparing yourself. You have no idea what happened to them the last few months. And if the average of all of us losing one to, you know, a pound a week or something, that means there's a whole lot of weeks we don't lose any weight. And so we don't know what's, that's such a big thing to me. It's like, don't compare yourself, stay in your lane. We're riding alongside of each other. Just like Kathy just said, let's help each other out. We're all figuring this out. And in the words of Dr. Phil, I always have to say this. I think it's hilarious because this was like 20 years ago. It's like, don't compare the inside of your house to someone else's outside. And I'm like, I have held on to that forever because I just think it makes so much sense. We have no idea where someone else is. And I know there's a question in the chat right now about how do you find an accountability group if you don't think you have enough to give? And I can promise you, we are all learning from each other, every single one of us, no matter where we're at. So,
yeah. So good. Oh my gosh, you guys, these are so good. For me, I think the thing was like, there's no perfection. Corinne and that, you know, has given like us all of these tools, and they are amazing. And like, I had this story that I had to somehow consume it all. I had to know it all. There was always going to be like the right answer. It was a version of Jeanette's perfectionism. And I had to just stop and say to myself, like, you're going to apply these tools different than someone else. And you're going to apply them your way. And some of them you're not going to apply at all. Some of them you're not even going to try. Some of them you're going to like religiously lean into. And it really doesn't matter. It's like your journey is going to be your own at your own pace. And like truly, faster isn't better if you don't do it permanently. Like, this is something I just tell myself even now, every day, like, faster isn't better if it isn't permanent. So for me, like, sometimes I move fast, sometimes I move slow, sometimes I didn't move at all because that was the right choice for me with my weight loss journey. So that there is truly no perfectionism. Like, the people who have incredible success here, they are not like doing it right and I'm doing it wrong. They're doing it right for them. I'm doing it right for me. I am learning from the things that I don't get perfectly, and that's what's right for me. So kind of that's where I was at. We have a question in the Q&A. I'm going to read it out and then see who wants to answer it, or if we all do. Lisa said, I'm starting to catch myself saying, no one will know you are eating or drinking. No one will know I eat or drink. I now say, this is normal to think since I've done this for years, will this help me meet my goal? Have any of you found yourself secretly eating or drinking, and how do you get past it? Sorry, I read that. I should have put that like in the middle. Kathy, go for it.
Yeah, I was classic secret eater. I would hear Ken leave the house and I would immediately go to the pantry because he wouldn't see what I would eat. And then I would graze through things so he wouldn't notice what I was eating. A few potato chips, a couple of cookies, some crackers, whatever it is I could find. And when I began to see that pattern, I would find myself in the pantry, y'all. How do you like that? I would find myself in the pantry and I would tell myself, Ken might not see, but I see what I'm eating. So it made my secret eating more visible to me. And I'm going to be honest. I still have those urges. I still hear that door close, or he comes in here and tells me goodbye. And I think, wonder what's in the pantry. And then I think, no, there's nothing on there. You didn't plan a snack today. You're still going to know. You're going to know if you ate off plan. There's that whole dialogue that shifted. But it's usually the magic thought for me around secret eating was, he might not know, or they might not know, but I'll know. And then I'll have to manage my mind around what I ate that was off plan.
Wow. So good. We probably don't even need to go into that any further. Let's close with, like, what are each of us working on this week, today, this month? Like, let's stick to the like here and now. What are we all doing to get to our goals right now? Who wants to go first?
I will.
Okay.
I am fine. I am. So as I work to lose this 10 pounds, I realize that I'm overeating probably by a couple of bites, just like, you know, when we need to lose weight, that is what it is. It's usually a few bites here and there. And, I kind of find myself right now kind of tricking myself, like, that was 2 bites, right? You know, or maybe getting a couple of extra bites. So the 2 bites, you know, it's easier. So I'm really working on that for myself. And I have an easy way out. I love that my dogs sit on each side of me. It's probably not great for them and their waistline, but right now it's working for me because I just give it to them really fast. And then I'm like, okay, it's gone. So yeah.
You're hilarious. That's kind of me too with the dog. But I think mine is that I have had a story about overeating that I literally thought somehow if I served less, it gave me an out to not eat to enough, like not leave bites behind. And then I had to like step back and big picture it. And like, that's a great start, serve less. But if you're having like 3 meals a day, approximately, and there's like 30 days in a month on average, so that's like 90 meals. How could you possibly be serving 90 meals perfectly, like the exact right amount? Like, you have to either be over-serving, under-serving, and that, or once in a while getting it perfect, which is nearly impossible when you think about math. And that's right where I went to, was like, I can't possibly be getting this right. And so it's time to just leave more and more bites behind. It's not for me now at this stage. It's not just about two. It's like literally being willing to leave whatever and make sure it's in a state that we're willing to eat it if we want leftovers. I'm willing to throw it out. I practice it all. But I no longer am fooling myself into believing that somehow magically 365 days a year, 2 to 3 times a day, I'm serving it right. Like I just trust I have to not have the right amount on the plate. And so I am working on stopping at enough from a place inside my body, not my eyes, when I'm serving the plate. What about you guys? Jeanette, Kathy?
Enough for me right now is where my focus is. Cause it's always been where I think I self-coach myself too much. It's where I struggle the most is stopping it enough. And, I have this story around that it's hard. I can't do it. I've never been able to do it. I get too much in the weeds about it. Like leaving bites behind for me, to me, it doesn't work for me because I give bites to my dog. How big of a bite is a bite? I mean, is it a big bite or is it a small bite? You know, and I can't put them aside because then my dog wants them and do those bites count? It's all this drama around leaving bites behind. So what I'm working on right now is just like taking, I fill my plate and then I take stuff off my plate and I leave it on my kitchen island. It's the only way for me. I can't. I haven't mastered leaving food behind on my plate yet. So for me, my doable goal is leave it in the kitchen at that point. So this is what I want to serve myself. I'm going to take a quarter of it away and leave it on the counter. And if I really want it, then I'll have to get up and get it. So that's where my focus is for February.
So good. So good. Cause that's what I said I did first too. And now I'm working on the other side of it. I love it. What about you, Kathy?
So I have two. One of my strongest enough signals is when I have the thought, I wonder if I've had enough. So if I hear that thought, it's a pretty big clue that my brain is saying, maybe we should slow down here a little bit. Oh, you're looking for the last few bites. So I'm listening for that thought. I wonder if I've had enough. But the other thing for me is that I find that these days, I would say probably 80-85% of what I'm eating is in the good category. Mm-hmm. So what I want to do this month is bring in some more better foods, more colorful fruits and vegetables and better foods. So that's, so it's the enough, plus it's kind of just tweaking what I'm eating without going into a lot of diet rule bullshit. Okay. Just going to call it like it is, just knowing that there might be a way I can level up what I'm eating and make it more nourishing for my body.
So good. Thank you.
But no beets. You're right, Rhonda. No beets.
No beets. Me either.
No beets.
So we have a question that maybe I'll take the lead on the answer. Janet is at a weight that feels good and is considering would like to lose 5 pounds more to be at a lower end of a goal range. She has a concern. Am I going to enjoy leveling down to attain that? I've been happy eating where I've been. Will it be enough? Well, I feel restricted. It's bringing up fear for her. So Janet, my recommendation would be to like just gamify it a little bit. Decide it's an experiment. You don't even have to decide yet, right? Just decide to experiment. Try all the things that it takes to level up and get your next pound, right? Don't worry about the 5, just like one more. And did you like it? Did you still get to eat mostly what you like? And, you know, are you at enough? And decide that way, because you already said you feel good. So it's not really a loss or gain either way of, you know, you're not feeling bad at your current weight. So stepping into like, I'm happy where I'm at. So either way is a win, and putting on that curiosity hat and experimenting and seeing what the outcome is for you. Because really you just have some thoughts that are causing fear, right? What could you think that doesn't cause fear? Like if you were in curiosity, what would you have to think to feel curious? And then what would you do from that with the experimentation? So I challenge you to go forth and experiment and then come in to ask coaches and give us a report back in, or if you need support. And as we wrap up the call, I want to make sure everybody knows to go to nobswomen.com and go to Ask Coaches if you have questions or need support. We really all, every one of us here in some capacity or another, supports members. And don't sit around frustrated. Ask a question, reach out. Every one of us is here for you on every capacity. So I want to thank you three for being here and sharing, being so vulnerable. Anybody have a last goodbye that you want to say to the members before we leave?
Just thank you for making my first call so much fun.
Oh, thank you so much for being here and being so brave and like having an idea to do this and like being like such an incredible support behind the scenes. I think it's important that like all of us know, you know, some of the coaches, we have FaceTime, but there's a lot of people behind the scenes that don't have FaceTime here that are equally invested in your well-being and your success. And one way or another, you interact with every one of us.
That is the truth. Thank you so much. Yeah. And y'all use this community, use these coaches, ask coaches, use it all. Don't be like me. Don't sit in the sidelines because all the help is there. That's the beautiful thing about No BS.
For sure.
That's what I was going to say too. Come to Ask Coaches. There are no dumb questions, no question too small, too easy, too any of it. Like, yeah, if you don't understand or something's going on in your brain, get your answers asked. It might be, you know, somebody else probably needs to hear the answer too. So,
and make sure you're going to Ask Coaches for coaching questions. Come to the tech call if you need tech support. But honestly, if you need something that's on the website related or replay related, document related, worksheet related, email support at pmptribe.com or click on the blue dot in the bottom right-hand corner of the website where there's a little question mark, and that'll take you right to the support team. Don't sit around in frustration with a problem that we could help you with. Thank you all for being here. It was so great. And we look forward to seeing you soon. Thanks, everybody. Bye. Bye.